I've got to mention, by the way, in the very beginning, that my niece is here. Wanda Hughes and a friend of hers, Kim, they're visiting with us tonight. And I've been calling them this week, and I'm sure glad that she got out and was able to be with us tonight. And I want you to meet them. They're sitting next to my wife. You know, tomorrow night and Friday night and our meeting will come to a close. It doesn't seem possible. Things that just go by so quickly, Brother Hall, especially when you enjoy serving the Lord as much as it seems that everybody in this congregation does. And oh, how our hearts are just certainly desirous of every person that's here in this building tonight under the sound of my voice that I might hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Because, you see, we have been emphasizing throughout the week the answer to the world's problems, the answer to your problems, and that is simply looking to Jesus, the Son of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, as we shall restate tonight, as we have almost every service, the Hebrew writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." If you never remember anything else about the meeting, I hope and pray that you'll not forget that statement, looking to Jesus. For if there was ever a time in this world that people needed to look to one that is perfect, the one that can encourage them, the one that will help them to be different from the world, it's now looking to Jesus. He set the right example. He gives us the way that we are to go. Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." How can we be different from the world? Why is it that the Bible demands that the followers of Jesus be different from the world? Why, there are so many passages of scriptures in the Bible that teaches us to not love the world. One found, if you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. Look at verses 15 through 17. John is writing there, and notice that John, the beloved disciple of God, urges his readers and those to whom he is writing that they're not to do something. And there's a reason for that. And the reason being that these things of this old world will all pass away. They're only here for a little time, and then they're gone. And John says in 1 John chapter 2 at verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Why should we be different from the world? Because immediately we learn from the scriptures that the love of God is not in us if we love the world. And then he goes on, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." These things are what? These things are of this world. What's going to happen to these things, John? He answers that question in verse 17, "And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof, all that is in the world, the evil thereof." The Son of God, through the beloved John, is urging us to not love the world, to be different from the world. Why? Because this world and all those things therein, they shall pass away. But there is something that gives us so much encouragement that's found right here in the last statement made by John. When John says these things of the world shall pass away and the lust thereof, he says, "But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Why should we be different from the world? Because we want to be lights in the world. We want to show the world what it's like to be a disciple of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our purpose upon this earth is to bring glory and honor unto God. And how can we do that? Well, the obvious answer is by our looking to Jesus. And when we look to Him, when we find His instructions telling us, don't love these mundane things, these things that are going to pass away. Don't put your confidence and trust in those things. Don't live in lust, but rather he that doeth the will of God is the individual that shall what? John says, that individual shall live, and that individual shall live forever. No wonder exhortation after exhortation is given in the Scriptures, therefore, for us that we not be conformed to the world. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be like the world. But looking to Jesus, how can we find, and what do we find in the instructions given to us in His Word, wherein we are different from the world? How are Christians different from the world? Most Christians wear ties occasionally. I don't know about you, but before I got over here, as a matter of fact, after I got in here, went in the men's room a while ago and to make sure the thing is straight. What if that tie was crooked? Well, you know what would happen? My wife back there, bless her heart, she'd just be looking at me and trying to give me a signal to do something about that tie, wouldn't she? Well, yes. And then afterwards, it's just like, for example, something similar to that happened to me one time. And I didn't know anything about it. It didn't hurt me a bit as long as I didn't know anything about it. But after I found out about it, I almost died. I couldn't believe it. I had one kind of a tie on here and another right opposite handkerchief up here. That wasn't such a major thing. However, we want to look right. Now, when we're talking about different from the world, that doesn't mean we want, and the Lord doesn't expect us to be men that are different men as far as stature is concerned. You're going to find Christians that are tall, that are short, some that sometimes eat more than they ought to, and some things like that, different types of individuals like that's not what we're talking about. Tonight I hope and I pray to God that He will help to be able to show you what the difference is between an individual that loves the Lord, that is following after Jesus Christ, and the world knows that that individual is different from the world. Let me give you three or four things. Number one, the child of God who is different from the world is one that loves his enemies. And that's interesting, isn't it? When somebody does something against the individual who is a child of God, how does he react? Now, I've seen children. Sometimes when one does something to the other, then the other's going to do everything possible to get back at them. Now, I want to tell you something, my friend. Sometimes I've seen adults do that. Isn't it a shame that sometimes one might hear somebody saying something against them, and what do they do? Turn right around and say something bad about the other one. Now, Christians are different. Children of God are different. I want to tell you how they're different. They're different because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if you've got your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 5 and listen to the Master as the Master says how our attitude should be toward those that would even be our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 43. You have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. How is the Christian to be different from the world? Jesus said, let me tell you, this is what you've heard. You have heard that you should love what? That you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus said, you're different. Lord, how are we different? Well, look at it. Jesus said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." What, Lord? Love them. You mean someone that does me harm, someone that inflicts upon me pain, someone that deliberately hurts me. Are you telling me, Lord, that I am to love that individual? Not only did he tell me that, read further. Jesus said, love your enemies and even bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And Jesus then noticed what he says. He said, let me tell you something further. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? We're looking to Jesus, Lord. When we look to you, how are we to be different from the world? Jesus said, I want my children, my followers, to love those that even inflict harm upon them, that would be their enemies. Do them good, and you're different from the world because you do not react and retaliate like the world. And then the Bible goes on to say, if you love them which love you, you have no reward. Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans the same? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I can already ascertain from the Scriptures the Word of God tonight, from my blessed Lord as I look to Him, that one thing that makes the children of God different in this old world is for their enemies, they're going to wish them they're going to pray for them. They're going to help them. They're going to love them. Now, sometimes you run into people that's kind of hard to get along with. Had a man when I first started out preaching, just being a young preacher. Why, I tell you, he was so cantankerous, it was hard to get along with that man. I never will forget sometimes, as a matter of fact, in a Bible class, I might ask him a question like this and call his name, where is this found? And he'd say, it's in the Bible. When I first moved there, I've got to tell you what happened at a picnic. I was trying to just go ahead with some conversation with him, and I'd just about finished eating. We looked over at him, went over and called his name, and I said, well, I said, did you get enough? He said, if I hadn't, I'd still be eating. Well, I knew then I had a little problem. From time to time, that same result. And I found out, boy, I got kind of nervous getting up to teach a class and to preach. And when he'd walk by, sometimes he'd say something, but it wouldn't be very much. Sometimes he wouldn't say anything. And I told my wife, I said, how am I going to get to him? And suddenly it came to me. Pray for him. Just pray for him. And you know what I did? Maybe it was me. It just made our relationship so much easier. Friend, is anyone in this world tonight that might even be your enemy that has hurt you? Have you prayed for them? If they are in need, what will you do for them? How are Christians different? I'll tell you how they're different. They're lights in the world. They're letting their light so shine before men that they may see their good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And their attitude to even those that would hurt them is the attitude of love. And closely connected with that, the disciples of Jesus Christ are kind one to another. Got your Bible? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Look in verse 32. Look what a difference between the world and the children of God. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. What a wonderful book. He loved the elders at Ephesus. He called them together. He challenged them, the elders of Ephesus, when he said, as we find recorded in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And then he adds, and he said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after them. He loved the church at Ephesus. He loved the leaders. And notice as he writes, Paul writes to these brethren in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 at verse 32, where Paul writes and he says, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what will help us to forgive and forget? Is to know, just like we prayed in that good prayer tonight, oh God, help us with regards to those that have transgressed against us, who sinned against us. We ask God tonight that we might have the right attitude toward them, that we may forgive them even as God forgives us. Be ye kind one to another. There is one thing that is the badge of discipleship which is reflected in kindness among God's people. And that is where Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another, which is reflected in their being kind one to another. Let me tell you something. The world sees that. In a congregation like Emory Hills, I'll tell you, I can encourage people to come. Because I see people that are kind to each other, speak to one another. Well, the world knows by what your actions. This is the way God would have it to be for His people everywhere. God's people are to be different from the world because they know the act of kindness is so important. And as Paul said, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Have you ever had someone who sinned against you? And they came to you and they said to you, I'm sorry, forgive me. What did you do? I'm sure every one of you would say to that person, I surely will forgive you. Let's pray together. Friend, that's not the way it is out in the world. In the world it is, I'll get back at you. But in the kingdom of God, the decisions that we make in this life are so important. In one thing, that decision reflected upon our relationship one to another. I heard Brother Granville Tyler tell a tale one night about two brethren who had some fallen out and had not been speaking to one another. And he said, he called their names, and he said the one got sick, and he called for the other through someone else and asked the other one to come out and talk to him. The man knew he was going to die, and he said to the other fellow, he said he wanted to come out, let's get this thing resolved. Oh, God's people need to have all of that taken care of before they meet the Lord. Now, let me tell you, be kind one to another involves looking at one another, forgiving one another, being kind and helpful to each other. The other fellow was rebellious against it, and he said, I won't do it. And for weeks he wouldn't go. But as Brother Granville Tyler tells the story, he said, finally the fellow said, I'll tell you what, this fellow's been wanting me to come out there. I guess I need to go out there and just see if we can't talk about the problem. He said, I'll do that tomorrow. And oh, if you know Brother Granville Tyler, he said that as The sun arose, the man got up the next morning early, and he went out to the man's house. He said they had a little picket fence around the house. Went out to the gate. He knows there's a lot of people around out there. The man said as he came up to the gate and he saw someone, he said, well, he said, and he called the fellow's name. He's been wanting me to come out here and get this thing resolved between the two of us. And I've decided I'd come out here this morning and just see if we can't talk. One of them with tears in his eyes looked at him and said, you're about 3 hours too late. He said, he died this morning around 4 o'clock. Be kind one to another and boss. Taking care of matters. It matters not what that is between brethren. Brethren are different from the world. They're different because they do not let the sun go down upon their mat. They take care of the problem. Children of God are different. And when it comes to the people of the world and the children of God, we find as we look to Jesus that the children of God are different because they live lives that are so different. Friend, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 with me. Look at verse 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians. And these Corinthians, Paul says, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. What kind of life is one to live? The lives of those that are children of God are conducive of what? Of showing the world that immorality is no part of their life. They're different. Children of God can see through those things. Why? Because they look to Jesus. And as they find instructions how they are to conform not to the world, they do everything in their power to live in keeping with God's will. Now these people here have been guilty of some abominable sins. But look how wonderful it is to read in verse 11. Paul says, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. A cleansing has been made. What is it, Paul? The life now that is being lived by the child of God is one that shows the world it's different. Though one at one time had been involved in these abominable sins that are listed, Paul said, you don't do that now. You're different. Baptized a man one time, came forward, been out in the world. We talked with him some. I didn't know the man that well. When he came forward, I asked him to make the good confession, which he did. And afterwards, we went in the baptistry and back in the baptistry to get everything ready for him to be baptized. You know, a lot of things can happen. Sometimes there are funny things that happen to you. In this case, it was kind of funny. In one way, because when the man came out, when he went in, he had a head full of hair, and when he came out, he didn't have any hair on his head. And I knew the church at Southern Boulevard where I was preaching, and I knew exactly what was going to happen when those drapes were pulled. So I was trying to prepare myself for that. And the drapes were pulled, and about 245 people at one time went, but that wasn't so bad. One little boy in the middle of the congregation spoke up loud enough and said, what brother guy do to his head? Well, I don't know, Brother Hall, how in this world I kept my composure, but I finally got him baptized. He came out, he put his toupee on, came on back out there. Nothing wrong with wearing a toupee. If you got one on, that's all right with me. I don't care. But anyway, he put it on, he came back out there, and I told somebody, I said, I want to know who that little fellow was. And then, sure enough, they told me, and I said, well, he's too young for me to say too much to him right now. I'll just talk to him later, I guess. But I want to tell you what that man did. After he was converted, became a Christian, child of God, I'll tell you what, he became so different from the world because he committed himself to becoming so like Jesus in every aspect of his life, conforming his life with the teaching of God's will. Where there had been alcoholism, it's no longer existing. Where there had been drugs, he didn't get on drugs anymore. Where there had been all kinds of immoral conduct, he didn't do that anymore. You know what had happened? He was different. Why was he different? Because now he's a child of God, and his life is conducive of a life that shows he's looking to Jesus, doing what the Lord would have him to do. And oh, how great emphasis placed in the Scriptures that we do the same. I read a little poem here, some questions really, some time ago. I want to share. It's out of a grit magazine. When I was a boy, I was going to get rich selling grits. Of course, I lived in Franklin County, and there must have been around where I lived about 25 people. And at that age in my life, I just thought as a young boy, they used to send that thing out to me, give you all kinds of prizes. I had all kinds of hope in my... I'll tell you what, I just thought selling grits going to be a great thing for me. I learned soon that I just wasn't going to get rich in selling grit. Now, if I... You don't know what that is. It's a little magazine that's been published since 1882. I'm not quite that old yet. But anyway, that magazine's been around a long time, and they've got a lot of good little things in it. I want you to listen. What if you could see your ancestors all standing in a row, would you be proud of them, or don't you really know? Some strange discoveries are made in climbing family trees, and some of them, you know, do not particularly please. If you could see your ancestors all standing in a row, there might be some of them perhaps you wouldn't care to know. But there's another question which requires a point of view. Please don't miss this, my friend. If you could meet your ancestors, would they be proud of you? You think of that. Told my children all my life, I make mistakes. I want you to know that your daddy is not perfect. But I want you to know one thing, and I pray to God that you'll always be able to understand that there is one that is perfect. And I don't want you to ever get discouraged, because I want you always to keep looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and following after him. I had a couple one time that came to me in the office and said, we've just got to talk to you, Brother McDaniel. And this couple was not married, but they were expecting a child out of wedlock. And they said, we don't know how to tell Mama. And we don't know how to tell Daddy. And it's going to just crush them. And I knew it was going to crush them. And they said, what we've done is wrong, and we're sorry for it. I went with them. And I shall never forget the parents as they told their parents. How that the mother, and especially the father, just bowed over the young people, let me beg and plead with you tonight to be different, say no to those things that you'll regret the rest of your life. Make sure your life is one that is filled with goodness and joy so that you don't have to live a life of regret. Finally, the father, after crying his heart out, he looked over at his daughter, and he took his daughter in his arm, and he hugged his daughter, and he said to her, "Honey, you've made a terrible mistake, but you're mine. I love you, and we're going to help you every way we possibly can. And I want you all to remember, when it comes to this old world, that Christians are different. Because Christians, when they stumble, they know that they can get up and they can have the help and the assistance. And as they acknowledge the error of their way before the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and make their lives right, they can go on and live as they ought to live." That young couple went ahead, got married, and I want you to know today they have two of the finest little children you've ever seen in your life. And I can say one thing, I believe a lot of it had to do with the attitude of the mother and the father. You see, Christians are different. They're different because they're looking to Christ for His instructions. And no, we do not condone any kind of sin, but we love the sinner. Just as Jesus loved the sinner. Why did He die? He died for sinners. But who are sinners? We are sinners. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanseth us from all sin." I saw this somewhere and I just had to make a chart of it. The beautiful passage concerning God's love for us, for God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The greatest being demonstrated the greatest measure for the world's greatest need, because He moved and made the greatest act by giving the greatest gift, which includes everyone and makes provisions for all to be delivered from the greatest of all sins and be rewarded in the end of everlasting life. For God so loved the world. Friend, He loved you. He loved me. And He gave the very best that He had. And you and I must look to Him, His Son, and be guided thereby, so that we might be able to enjoy heaven after a while. Some years ago, up in Cleveland, Ohio, the cold country in the wintertime. Never will forget shoveling the snow, getting ready to go downtown to work at the Globe Paper Company. I was trying to get a woman, while I was working there in the office, to obey the gospel. She was a very fine person. I mean, a good moral person. And I was trying to point out to her how important it was as far as knowing what one ought to do to be saved. And I'm just about 18 or 19 years of age, but I knew enough about the Bible to point out to her, look, you've just got to do what the Bible says. Now, Brother James Chasen, I want to tell you, I'd studied with Connie. And I pointed out to her how important it was to hear the Word, and that she could understand. To believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, to repent and confess the name of Jesus. But when I pointed out to her, in order to become a child of God and become different from the world, one needs to be baptized, she looked at me and she said, "Are you telling me that I'm supposed to let you take my body and for you to dip me in some water, and that's going to bring about something as far as... Why, she said, I think that's the most senseless thing I have ever heard of in my life. But I said, wait a minute. Now consider something. Oh, I use the examples. There's Naaman. You remember in 1 Kings chapter 5 how that Naaman's servant told him, well, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? He finally convinced him. Oh, Naaman thought like people think today that they ought to do this or they ought to do that. It doesn't make any difference what a person thinks. It makes a difference as to what the Lord tells us. And so Naaman finally, as he was convinced, went. He went down, and I, young people, listen to me a moment. He went down in that body of water one time and came up, and you know he still was a leper. And he went down twice. He came up and he still was a leper. He went down the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time. Now, a lot of people today say, I think this is the most senseless thing. I'm not. But Naaman had been reasoned together. His servants had reasoned with him. If the Lord had bid thee do some great thing, would you have not done that? Why don't you do what he tells you? Friend, when he went down the seventh time, are you listening? When he came up out of that same water, what happened? You know he was cleansed from his leprosy and he went out there rejoicing. He's ready now to give reward. What had he done? Just done exactly what the prophet had bid him do. And I begged that lady, pleaded with her, and to this very day she still has not been immersed into Christ. How are Christians different? When they hear the word of God, they obey the gospel and they keep on obeying. They're doing exactly as Jesus, when the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, all power hath been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them. Doing what? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Children of God are different. They're different because they're listening to those things that are taught to them in the Word of God. Someone wrote, I am an elderly lady and I live alone, but I don't get lonesome. Well, now think about this for a moment. Age is creeping up on lots of us. Isn't it wonderful to know that one can live and be able to be a child of God? This is just a little humorous. Think about it. She said, I don't get lonesome because I have many friends to keep me company. And then she just goes off in a tangent, I think, when she says, I wake up early and see Charlie Horse. I eat meals with Willpower. I spend a lot of time with Arthritis. In the evenings, I've been at visit with Ben Gay. I just think she's gone, isn't she? Then things are not the same. She says, everything is farther away now than it used to be. Why, it is twice as far to the corner. And you know what? They added a hill, I noticed. What's wrong, lady? I have given up running for the bus, for it moves faster than it used to. It seems to me that they are making stairs steeper than in the old days. And have you noticed the smaller print in the newspaper? Why, well, she is gone. There is no sense asking anyone to read aloud. Everyone speaks in such a low voice that I can hardly hear them. Even people are changing. They are so much younger than they used to be when I was their age. On the other hand, people of my own age are so much older than I am. I got to stop there. My mama is 89. And my aunt is 91. And I love it when we call her grandma, when grandma says, and you know what? Ain't Ida sure is getting old, isn't she? 2 years different. But then as she goes on, I got to thinking about the poor thing, she said. I ran into an old classmate the other day and she didn't even recognize me. And I started thinking about her while I was combing my hair. And in so doing, I glanced at my reflection. Mercy, they don't even make these mirrors like they used to anyway. Changing. Oh, yes, beloved. A lot of changes in this whole body of ours. My niece said, what happened to your head, brother guy? A little while ago. That's why I don't turn it over too much anymore. We make a lot of change. But I want to tell you something. Get the point. These changes as we go through in this whole life can make us grow us closer to becoming like the Son of God because we're different. We're different because of our enemies. We love them and we show them. In the family circle, we're different because we treat them as they ought to be treated. We're kind to each other. Our lives are different. They're devoted to King Jesus. Our ambition in life is to do one thing. As Peter says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability that God giveth him, that in all things God might be glorified. That's what makes us different. The difference is we're trying to please and we're trying to bring honor and glory to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. If you're not a Christian, don't you want to be a child of God tonight? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? If so, then will you not this evening repent? Confess the sweetest name on mortal tongue. And then, as you make that grand confession, be baptized for the remission of your sins, that you may rise up and walk a new life. And if you're here a Christian, a child of God, and you walk for a while faithfully, but you know your life isn't what it ought to be, then won't you ask God to forgive you? Won't you this evening be different from the world by just simply admitting that you've sinned? And then as we pray with you, after you leave the building, dedicate the rest of your life to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we're different, but in a sense that the world can admire because we're following after the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Come, won't you be one of his disciples as together we stand and as we sing to encourage you.